We left off yesterday, still trying to figure out the solution to this mystery. Is how can we find a case where we have the Chiyuv Misa D'Shamayim and the Chiyuv Mamon simultaneous? So the first Ta'ul group of Rishonim, the Taisus by us, the Taisus Bava Kama, we're working with the assumption that we have to revamp the Chiyuv Tashlumin a little bit, that we can't be talking about a Chiyuv Gazlan / Mazik, because that's going to put the moment of Chiyuv Tashlumin too early, and that's going to break up the Basachas. So Taisus had his solution, and Taisus by us, Taisus Bava Kama, different possibilities. Just how to get through the mechanics of why exactly you're paying, or how much you're paying. But then Taisa Bayas quoted a whole different approach to the sugya, conceptually very, very different. The approach of the Ritzva, where the Ritzva says that we don't have to introduce a new concept called Hanoi. You want to learn Bavakam, you talk about Hanoi. We're not talking about Hanoi. We're talking about Gazela, Mazik, Gazela. We're talking about the regular old Chiyuvim of the third Brach of Ksubis. And we could still chop around that we're going to get it for Vasachas. The only thing is, rather than redefining, everyone's got to redefine something. It's just a question of what we're redefining. So rather than redefining the Chiyuv Mamon, let's redefine the definition of Vasachas. So comes the Ritzvah and says that Vasachas doesn't have to mean precisely at the, literally at the split second. It's close enough, very, very close. That's also it's also considered to be Vasachas. So why is it so close? So the Ritzvah says, well, at the moment of truth where the Chiyuv Mamon kicks in, it's that last gulp. And even though your mamish a gazlan at that last gulp, because that last gulp, the food is still worth a lot of money. It's not less than a sheva pruta. It's not worthless. It's worth a lot of cash in that base of liya, that last moment in time. And at the time when you give that last gulp, you're a full-fledged gazlan, or more than a sheva pruta. But you also chay misa b'dei shemayim for achila. You're not really chay misa b'dei shemayim for achila. We all know, everybody knows that the moment of achila is much later. Well, it's not that much later. It's a split second, half a centimeter later. That's considered to be Vasachas. So in order for the Ritzvah's Pshat to fly, he has to show you other areas of Halacha where we watered down the definition of Vasachas. I thought Vasachas meant it, so Taisus says, no, it doesn't really mean it. I'll show you other Gemaras where Vasachas doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like. So Taisus takes you on a trip through Masechet Yevamos, to the third parak. Yevamos is a very hard Masechet. Anyone learning Yevamos these days? Today I was learning Yevamos Daf Yotev, right? Today's Daf Yomi, okay? I can tell you, I don't know how many times I've looked at Yevamos. It's been a few times I've looked at Masechet Yevamos. It took me an hour and a half to do the daf, and I've done this daf many, many times already. It took me an hour and a half just to learn it by myself. This is a very, very hard daf. Yeah. So, I don't know. You gotta think a million times when you learn Yevamos. Okay, anyway. So, I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, this particular daf is a hard one. I'll tell you, unbelievable story. Just mentioned Yevamos stuff, your test. It's a spooky story about Yevamos stuff, daf, your test. I told you the story. No, that's the spooky, spooky one. Who has learned Daf Yomi? Learned Daf Yomi? No, okay, it was hard, right? Okay. So I used to say Shiurim in Riverdale when I first got married, lived in the Heights. So I used to say a Shiur, it was called the quote unquote Daf Yomi Shiur in Riverdale every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning before Shacharis. It wasn't really Daf Yomi. It started out as Daf Yomi, then after a few months they realized they can't keep up. So it became just learning. That was it. And they called it, it was still called the Daf Yomi, the daily Daf. So meanwhile, Daf Yomi was in the Lakachim, we were in the middle of Erev, whatever, it was different things. So I gave the shifa 5 years, and we never learned the daf a day, we learned half an amud a day, an amud a day, depending on the day. And also, since I wasn't so challenged to finish any amount, every once in a while I wanted to throw in, you know, some spice or something, so I would throw in a little bit of a little shtota. So I gave the shifa for 5 years. Every morning, I used to, now it's a machaya, now I get up very late. I say shiur at 6:20 in Tinek. So I used to have to get to Riverdale by 6 o'clock. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's mamasha, it's a whole new world. Now. Anyway, so this was before my kids. My kids are little babies. So we were learning Yevamos. I said, mostly say the Moed with them, and then we started Yevamos, and then I stopped her at that point. So not because it was Yevamos, it just stopped other commitments. So we were learning Yevamos, and we got to these daf about Rabbi Shimon and Eshach Shalom Be'elam, very, very, very hard sugyas. And must have taken us almost a month, maybe, to go through just these two plot, the first two plot and the second brech of Yevamos. And it's Rabbi Shimon, and Ocher Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon, again, Rabbi Shimon, everything. I was leaving Rabbi Shimon, the whole sugya. And we were learning maybe at snail's pace, maybe 3-4 lines a day. And I had a blackboard, and I was drawing out pictures, and I had diagrams. And a bunch of men, the same guys would come every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. There was one of the men there, an older gentleman, he came every morning for years and years and years. And the mamish finished the sugya of Rabbi Shimon. Maybe for a month we had spent on Shittas Rabbi Shimon in Yibel Yosef Nolad, and he was nifter that night. He had a heart attack that day, like the day after we finished the sugya, and he died on the spot. Which I remember by I didn't speak at the Levaya, but I think it was at the Shiva house or something. I was talking to some of the men. I remember I said, there's no doubt in my mind that he went, the first stop when he went up to Shemayim was right to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we finished. It's like as if he refused, and the Shama couldn't leave the world until he finished this Sugi Masech Shemamus. He had hung in there for a whole month, and then after we finish the Sugi Masech. So I always get very, very shaky when I get to you about Masech Yitzchak. If you always start Daf Chaf already, so everyone should be well. Okay, anyway, getting back to this story. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, Yivamus. Yes, so the third Perek of Yivamus. Also, don't think the second Perek is hard. The third Perek is also pretty hard. So we get to the third Perek of Yivamus, and all of a sudden, towards the end of the Perek, the Gemara has a very, very complicated sugi about Shas sugi. I don't really Yivamus sugi. A Shas sugi about Einus Achal Alisar. We know there's a general principle when you have something which is already Alisar. It's also for one reason, and now a second Isser, in effect, wants to take over. So we have a rule called Einus Achal Alisar. The second Isser can take hold if it's already also for reason number one. The only problem is there are so many exceptions to that rule of Einus Achal Alisar. By the time you finish the exceptions, there's not that much left to the rule. It's the Maisiv and it's a Kailam Basachas. So one of the many, many exceptions to Einus Achal Alisar is the notion of Shnei Yisurim being Chal B'Vasachas. What if you have two Yisurim that are Chal Mamis simultaneously? So you don't say Einus Achal Alisar, say L'Moshe, we just had 2 weeks ago. Yom Kippur M'Shechalas B'Shabbos. So if a person does Malacha on Yom Kippur M'Shechalas B'Shabbos, he's Chayef twice. Chayef two Chatos. It's once for Shabbos, once for Yom Kippur. Ah, Einus Achal Alisar. So the answer is no. They're Chal B'Vasachas. They happen simultaneously. At the same moment when the sun sets, at the same moment, whatever the moment of the Chilas Shabbos is the Chilas moment of Yom Kippur also. There's a lot of lumdus about the Berach Tesefer, Shabbos, but not for now. But Tachas, the Gemara is the Beferish, at the same moment that one is Chal, the other is Chal as well. So the Gemara starts listing off different examples of Shnei Yisurim that are Chal B'Vasachas. So some of them are very, very straightforward, and some of them are very, very bizarre, very, very strange. So one of the examples that the Gemara discusses about two possibilities of Yisurim in Chal B'Vasachas is concerning a Kohen who's a Bal Mum, who's obviously not allowed to do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's also a Kohen who is Tomei, is not allowed to do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara discusses the possibility, can a person become a Bal Mum and become Tomei, Mamash V'Vasachas? How's that going to happen exactly? So let's say if the guy loses his arm, he becomes a Bal Mum, then he goes into an Olam Meis, he becomes Tomei, or vice versa. How can you ever conceive of a situation where both of them are Chal Mamash V'Vasachas? So the Gemara tries and works and works and works, and finally the Gemara comes up with this wild Kimta. And what's the case? You're going what? Going shesak chatach etzbo besakin tebeya, right? Last line, then we saw the Gemara, right? Tesis quotes it. Doesn't Tesis quote it? So the guy, somebody comes with a knife that's tamei and cuts off the person's finger. So if you think about it, the guy just became a bal mum. He lost his fingers, bal mum, and he also became tamei because the knife was tamei. Assuming the knife was tamei enough to be mitamei him, let's say it was an avatuma, so it was able to be mitamei him. So shon kachava, he just became an adam tamei together with bal mum, all rolled into one. Ad kan devar Gemara. So comes the Ritzva here, and he says, wait a second, not so simple. He says, yef sure shelo yiga besakin karam shiach toich. Says the Ritzva, vasachas. It's not true. Stop a vasachas. The second, you have to, it looks like vasachas, not really. You have to watch the old style films, make a little clips. You got to stop it in the middle. So really, what really happened is that the tummy knife, the second it touches it, cooties, yeah, you got tummy. The cutting off of the ava of the finger doesn't happen until a split second later. It may look like vasachas, but it's not really vasachas. So how could the Gemara call that vasachas? Within the sugya of Einus Achal Alisar, how could that be nikvas vasachas? Zok the Ritzva Zemin from da, what do you see from here? An unbelievable yisaid. That close enough counts. That means vasachas, don't have to be such a stickler for a vasachas. Don't have to be so metaktik. It's got to be mamish punk vasachas. It's close enough. That's also considered to be vasachas. Wow, what a pshat. And then the Ritzva said, well, if that qualifies with vasachas and the sugyas of Einus Achal Alisar, that must qualify for Vasachas and the Sugis of Kibbutz Ramine, and that's what's going on in Agamara. What a pshat in the Ritzva. How come nobody else thought of that? How come Tyson and Baba Kama didn't think of that? How come Tyson Ksubas took us 3 days already to learn the Sugya? Nobody thought of the Ritzva's pshat. How come all the other Rishonim had to say it's talking about Chiyav Hanoah and Maisa? How come nobody else went along these lines? Isn't it a favorish? Isn't it a favorish that that's true? So the answer is it's far from a Beferish Gemara, because there are other Rishonim who clearly don't accept that pshat in Maseches Yevamos. Who else? Who doesn't accept that pshat in Maseches Yevamos? Taisus Yevamos doesn't accept the pshat in Maseches Yevamos. What is Taisus right? Taisus right? No, it really is a Vasachas. It really, truly is a Vasachas. What does Taisus do? Taisus got to bring him to the orthopedist to explain to you how it's Vasachas. What does Taisus say? He's hanging by that last thread. If you thought shoving truma down your throat is disgusting, this is really, really hard to learn. But it's hanging at the fingers dangling for dear life, and that knife, as it touches it, well, boom, boom, same split second. There is no delay. It's mamash vasachas. The second that knife touches it, it gives that cut, and it goes off. The guy becomes a bamum, and it becomes tameh, all rolled into one. So you see that Taisa and Yevamos were struggling. They were willing to run different scenarios of orthopedics to try to get around to this conclusion that the Ritzvah was pointing to. So Nafla Yisrael, Nafla Binyan. If there's no Gemara and Yevamos that redefines Vasachas, then we have no right to extend that to Maseches Ksubis. So according to Taisa and Yevamos, there's no question that this Ritzvah's pshat is not going to fly. Yeah, that's other achronim about with that kasha. The case of Tosis is very, very hard to us to contemplate. Forget about the gory details; it's hard to understand up the halacha. But there are other mishainim who disagree with this ritzvah, also based on their understanding of the sugyas and maseches Yevamos, for a different approach, a different reason they disagree with the ritzvah, not because like Tosis in Yevamos, who says there is no redefinition of Vasachas. According to Taisa in Yevamos, Vasachas means Vasachas, nothing more, nothing less. The Ritzvah had an all-encompassing definition of Vasachas. Comes the Ritzvah, not to be confused with the Ritzvah, but the Ritzvah in Maseches Yevamos, and he has a different approach to that. So you put it on the Mamre Kamos, I don't remember. What does the Ritzvah say? Who saw the Ritzvah? No, who got the Ritzvah for me? Ksubas? I put it on Ksubas? Yeah. Oh, so maybe it's here. Which one? No. That's the next pshat. No. There's a Ritva in Maseches Yevamos. On the daf in Maseches Yevamos. Where that sugi about Mum and Tomei. Where's that? What daf is that on? Lama Gimum and Aleph. The Ritva quotes a totally different pshat in that Gemara. The Ritva says, we can redefine Vasachas. To say that it's talking about the guy's fingers hanging, dangling for dear life for the last thread is just not practical. That's not the pshat of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean to redefine Vasachas. But listen how the Ritva redefines Vasachas. Says the Ritva, well, when you start to touch the tummy knife to the person's finger, what time did that take place? You need a timeline over here, okay? So at 1:32 and 18 seconds, okay? 1:32 and 18 seconds, you touched. At what time did the knife cut through and the guy became a bamum? What's the answer? 1:32 and what? 19 and a half seconds, okay? Now, talk normally and say the following magic words. Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Meiri. How long did that take you? About the same time it takes to blow a key of Tashrat, okay? Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Amiri, what we call in halacha teich kadei dibur, zok the ritva from left field. Any time you have two maisim that are teich kadei dibur of one another, that's also called vasachas, and that's what the Gemara is driving at. That's the vasachas of Yevamos, not like the Taisa of Yevamos that says that it's mamash vasachas and the guy's fingers dangling. No, says the ritva, the finger's not dangling; it's a regular normal finger. The finger got chopped off. It's called vasachas because it's teich kadei dibur of one another. So the Ritva also redefined Vasachas, but much, much further redefinition than who? Than the Ritzva. Because let's not forget, what did the Ritzva say? For the Ritzva's pshat and asugi to fly, the Ritzva said, once we shove that food to the point of Nechel, of Iyav Shalach, Elay Deatchach, only when you get it down to that last mamish bottom of the base of Leah, then we can call it Vasachas. The implication of the Ritzva is obvious, that if it was further up, like for example in the top of the base of Leah, or was in the guy's mouth, that wouldn't have qualified as Vasachas. Remember, what was the whole Shach Matai of the Gemara? How did the Gemara fly? No, who remembers the Gemara? The Gemara said, Right? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Kevin the last kani mischaim ben ashlo havi at the bala. So the Gemara says there's too much of a break. So the Gemara says, no, conscious, don't go chavir vasa bechabliya. So the Gemara says, hey, chadom, id matzla du in a hader. In other words, if it's easily retrievable, according to the ritzvah, what does that question mean if it's easily retrievable? What's shot in that question, easily retrievable? That means it's where? Means it's too high up, and there's too much of a break. There's too much of a delay between that point, that gulp, and the chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim for achilas truma. So therefore, it's not called vasachas, and it's not subject to kibbutz ramine. So according to the ritzvah, the whole shakmatai of the Gemara was to push that food as far down as possible. That's the theme of the Gemara. Get that food as far down as possible, and once you get it as far down as possible, then we can kind of close our eyes and call it vasachas. According to the ritzvah, that the definition of vasachas can be accomplished, we can redefine vasachas based on the rule of teicha de dibur of other areas of halacha. I ask you, Rabbi, I challenge you. Anyone's got any food here to eat? Put the food in your mouth, give that first gulp, and count on your seconds of your stopwatch how long it takes to get from here to here. I guarantee you it's going to be less than teicha de dibur. So you see clearly that the ritzvah is not going with the ritzvah's pshat. If the ritzvah was right, that redefinition of basachas is governed by the rules of teicha de dibur, then you have that in the beginning of the Gemara. What is it going to have to pilpul and change the case and get it all the way down to the bottom? Of course that's teicha de dibur. So now, how do Kushla Duchta on the ritzvah? So now we have to turn around the ritzvah and Yavam and say, okay, wait a second. Isn't the ritzvah's very, very, very expansive definition of basachas that went so far as teicha de dibur? So how does it fly now in Ksubas Taflam and Mabez? Why isn't that called Vasachas? So what do you have to say according to the Ritva? According to the Ritva in Yavamas, there's only one conclusion you have to draw. Not all Vasachas are created equal. The definition of Vasachas in the Sugya of Issachar Lisser is not identical to the definition of Vasachas in the Sugya of Ksubas Taflam. You have to say that. Because according to the Ritva and Yavamos, who extended Vasachas all the way to that extra 2 second, that 2 second break of Teicha de Dibur, you for sure have 2 second break in Laman of Abayz and Ksubas. You don't have to get to Echa de Etchak to get to that point. So why is the Gemara during us a couple of getting to Echa de Etchak? So you see clearly that the Ritva is the Mekel and the Bachmer in the definitions of Teicha, in the definition of Vasachas. He's the biggest Mekel to say that Vasachas calls even within Teicha de Dibur. But then he limits that extensive basachas only to the sugya of Enes Chalisser. It does not apply in the sugya of Kimlevi Draminei. Unlike the Ritzvah, and please don't get the names confused, unlike the Ritzvah, who has a very, very expansive definition of basachas in the sense of that it sweeps across party lines, it applies in Kol Tarakula. It applies whether you're learning Yavamas, whether you're learning Ksubis. On the other hand, he has a very, very limited definition of basachas, in that it's only very, very split second of time. You don't have that long, expansive moment of all the way to Teicha de Dibur. So there are similarities and differences between the Ritzvah and the Ritva. They both have extended definitions of Vasachas. The Ritzvah extended it to all areas of Halacha, but limited in terms of time on the clock. The Ritvah Yavamas extended it in time on the clock all the way to Teicha de Dibur, but must have limited it only to a very, very specific area of Halacha. You cannot take the clues of both. You cannot take the expansive definition of the Ritzvah all the way up to Teicha de Dibur, combine it with the Ritzvah and cross the Sechtes, because if you do, then you're going to be contradicted by what? By our Gemara. Okay, so that's just a Ha'ara. When you learn this Ritzvah, you have to read this Ritzvah, you have to read the Taisa in Yavamas, realize the Taisa disagrees with the Ritzvah, you have to read the Ritzvah, realize the Ritzvah disagrees with the Ritzvah. Different possibilities. So you have Taisas and Yavamas who never heard of any of these expansive. They have a very conservative approach, like the day is first day in Taisas Bayas and like the Taisas Mavakama. There's only one definition of Vasachas, and it means Vasachas Mamish. There's no expansive, there is no extended Vasachas. Never anywhere. Not in time, not in Sugya, there's no such thing. And you have the Ritzvah and the Ritvah, Ish Kemak, Lisech, Mach, Yisle, had different possible ways of expanding Vasachas, but each one had to stop short. You cannot combine the two, because if you combine the two, then you are checkmate based on Agamar and Sumas. Okay?
The Shach and Fire and Mark Sumas, the concern that the Gemara seems to have when saying where it is in the growth, it doesn't seem to be concerned about whether or not the Hana and the Hila of Vasachas, but it seems like it's still discussing the Kinyan aspect. Because it says Lema Nehadir.
discussing whether he could even back at that point.
No, so it says, what does that mean, Nahadr? What do the words mean? If it's able to be returned, then you should be chayev alts gazela, and once you're chayev alts gazela, then it's too early. So according to Taizen, Bava Kama tells in the Ksuba is the beginning, then the Gemara forced to change to Dvei Hana. According to the Ritzvah, there was never any change, it was always gazela, but what changed between the different stages of the throat is it more vasachas or less vasachas? Okay? I imagine we'll have what to say. Hopefully we'll have what to say about that on Daf Amud Aleph. Okay? That, put it a ballpark estimate, close to Hanukkah, we'll probably be done with that sugya. Okay? So that's a big sugya. That's a really, really big one. Okay? So by side, so how many pshatim do we have so far to solve our basic dilemma in our sugya? We have Taisus by us, Taisus of Akama, and now the Ritzvah are radically different. Now we have a fourth pshat. The fourth pshat is Rabbi Natan's pshat. Rabbi Natan happens not to appear by Tosfos by us. It's quoted in the Tosfos Yeshanim. Tosfos Yeshanim were not the Tosfos Yeshanim, like some yeshivas say. That means the sleepy Bala Tosfos. That means Tosfos Yeshanim, the older Bala Tosfos. They were only older because the printer ran out of room on the page, so he put them on the side. They weren't any different than the other Tosfos. So comes Tosfos Yeshanim and says, "Divrei Maskal Tzricha." I put that in my Mekomos, right? Rabbi Natan Piresh. So one thing I know clear from Rabbi Natan, that conceptually, Rabbi Natan is going the direction of the Ritzvah. He is trying to create a Vasachas. And he's trying almost identical to the Ritzvah. That it's the place of the Truma in the throat that's going to enable us to call this Vasachas. Until we got the food down to that point of the throat, we had Vasachas issues. Now that we got it lodged precisely where we want it, now we're ready to call it Vasachas. That's clearly what Rabbi Natan is trying to say. But he didn't say anything at all like the Ritzvah. He didn't say anything about make-believe Vasachas, as he didn't quote any Gemara in Yevamos. He's having a totally different twist, a total curveball, as to how we created Vasachas. Remember, the problem was that the last thing we want is the Chiyuv Mamon to precede the Chiyuv Misa. That's bad. That's gonna undo any possibility, any application of Kimud Ramidei. So what the Ritzvah's Lamdus was, is that, what do? We'll move the Chiyuv Mamon. Right? We're going to take the Chiyuv Mamon and move it and move it and move it and move it and move it, and we'll put it right here, and we're kind of touches and kisses the Chiyuv Misa. Oh, Baruch Hashem. We got it, right? It's close enough. Close enough. That was the theme of the Ritzvah. Rabbi say, you have A over here and B over here. There are two ways for A and B to meet. Either A goes to meet B, or B comes back to meet A. Classic Shidduchim one, okay? So the goal is to get the two together. Whereas the Ritzvah moved the Chiyuv Mamon close as possible to the Chiyuv Misa, what Rabbi Natan did was, he redefined the Chiyuv Misa. We can reassess the Chiyuv Misa. We had a certain understanding of what Chiyuv Misa was. We thought the Chiyuv Misa is that late at the very end of the digestive tract, I mean, not literally the end, but very, very far down into the swallowing process, we were convinced that that's like not negotiable. That's not budging. The Chiyuv Misa is staying where it is. It's not going anywhere. That's what we thought. And we got a pickle because we're stuck with a Chiyuv Mamon all the way back here. So there's been a time, you know, we'll move the Chiyuv Mamon a little bit. It's not all the way up in the mouth. It's not all the way up. We'll move it a little bit. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And you know what? Maybe we weren't really correct in where this Chiyuv Misa is. After all, the Chiyuv Misa is for Achila. At what point is Achila accomplished? Says Rabbi Natan, if you have food so far down your throat that the only way for you to get it up is to start to gag it up, it's possible. You can get a guy to step on your stomach and get it. It's eventually the chak to get it back up. It's possible. But it's so unlikely. It's so not comfortable to get it up. Says Rabbi Natan, you know what we call that? You have sufficed a halachic criteria called achila. You have met the point of achila. So we can kind of move the chiv achila a little bit closer to the chiv mamon, and look, mazel tov. The two just met, and we've accomplished vasachas. Not like the Ritzvah who said we've accomplished vasachas because we've watered down the definition of vasachas. Chalila, says Rabbi Natan. Vasachas means vasachas mamish. It's just that we've reassessed what the moment of achila is really all about. And how does Rabbi Natan coin the phrase of that new moment of achila? What was the phrase Rabbi Natan used? What does nene groina mean? What's the imagery that Rabbeinu Tam? What does Rabbeinu Tam mean when he says nene groino? You think he meant the chi of hana'a? Forget it. What did he mean? He's referring to what Gemara? The Gemara Maseches Chulin in the end of the seventh parak, when the Gemara defines for us what exactly achila is. What is the moment of truth of achila? When does a person consider it to be chayav? That chi of misa b'dei shemayim, for achila is true, but the chi of chorus, even chametz, the chi of achila and kol terakula, what constitutes an achila? Famous machlokes of Yechon Rish Lakish. Rav Yechon says hanos grono, and Rish Lakish says hanos meyav. I don't know enough about the digestion, but I can tell you that there's a big throat out there, hanos goron. I don't know enough about high school bio, but meyayim are pretty big. You stretch out your meyayim, pretty long. How long are they? 60 feet. That's a long meyayim, okay? It's a pretty long esophagus, right? A couple of good inches of esophagus? How long is this? A couple inches. Okay. Whatever it is. What's the moment of truth? At what point do we say Yechaya for Achil? Rish Lakish says Hanos Mayayim, and Rabbi Yechon that we pass it is Hanos Gorin. When it goes down the throat. Which part of the throat? How do you know it went down the throat? Where? Obviously, you're not chewing in your mouth. That's not Hanos Gorin. Where is it called Hanos Gorin? Says Rabbi Tam, at the moment when it's almost impossible, I said almost, not impossible, almost impossible to get it back up again, that's called an osgarun. And therefore, that was the solution of the Gemara. When the Gemara says it's nechala, it's efshalach so de'atchak, the Gemara was not addressing, like Taisa said, the value of the truma. This is not an economist sugya, not an accountant sugya. And we're not making believe, this is not a philosophy sugya that we're saying the two things that aren't really vasachas really are vasachas like the ritzvah. No, this is not for the accountants and not for the philosophers. It says Rabbi Natan, it's for who? Who's it for? For the GI guys. I mean, they got to decide, the digestion fellas, they got to decide what is the point of achila? Thus is the point of achila, says Rabbi Natan. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's the vasachas. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Natan conceptually is much closer to the Ritzvah than he is to the other Balei HaTosfos, because he is not introducing Chiyav Hanah. He's not going to the roots of Bava Kama. He didn't get into the pickle of Bava Kama. He's going with just plain and simple Mazik / Gazlan. He is very, very similar to the Ritzvah in that he's invoking a new definition of Vasachas, but not because he changed the definition of Vasachas, because he changed, in effect, the definition of Achila. And it has to coincide precisely with the moment of Chiyav Mamon. This is Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. Rabbeinu Tam, of course, is also very similar to the Ritzvah in the sense of how much is this truma worth at that moment in time? Remember, according to Tosfos in Ksubis, it was worth koshi less than a pruta. According to Tosfos in Bava Kama, it was worth zero. According to the Ritzvah, how much was it worth? $100. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how much is it worth? $100. Hasn't changed. It's more than a proof. It's worth a lot of money now. And you're still chayiv. You're chayiv al gazlin. You're chayiv al nehneh. So Rabbi Natan and the Ritzvah are much, 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 much closer than Rabbi Natan to the other sheitas, but it's still fundamentally different. Rabbi Natan is not changing definitions of asachas and kol terakula. He's not evoking images of cut off fingers in Maseches Yevamos. He is just referring back to a sugya Maseches Chulin. So both the Ritzvah and Rabbi Natan are learning subas through the eyes of a different masechta. It was just a different masechta they're each learning. The Ritzvah was learning Ksubas through the eyes of the third parak of Yevamos, whereas Rabbeinu Tam was learning Ksubas through the eyes of the seventh parak of Maseches Chul. This idea that the moment of truth of Achila is Anaz Goron, the way we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, this is not the first time that we bump into this in the Sugya. First time we made note of it, but if you read the Rashis carefully, Rashi already alluded back to that Gemara, the significance of that Gemara Maseches Chulin. Rashi had a very, very startling statement, actually, when he was getting the sugya started. So Rashi had a comment Actually, in this last part, Aydat Chak, Rashi says, am I in the middle of that Rashi? Am I kemachavis lebetashlum and ahanos grona umeyav? Haishaitachi of Misa Ika. Rashi said, the moment of hanos goron and hanos umeyav, which is the moment of hanah, Rashi is like Tosis, it's the moment of the chi of hanah, that's the chi of achila, chi of misa as well. So Rashi had a very, very strange comment. Rashi says that whatever your moment of truth is, vis-a-vis the chi of hanah for mamonis, it coincides exactly with the chi of definition of achila. Either hanah, goron or hanah smeyav. Why did Rashi bring both in? Anyone read that Rashi carefully? Anyone read that Rashi? Why did Rashi mention both? Rashi was pre-Rabbi Natan, Rashi's pre-Ritzvah, Rashi's pre-Taisis. Rashi is just telling you, Simple Pshat in the Gemara, Rashi was learning that the Gemara changed from a Chi of Gazlan to a Chi of Bava Kama, Dav Chof, it's a Chi of Hanah. And Rashi just says, and by the way, that Chi of Hanah is at the moment that it goes down, and whatever moment you're getting Hanah from, either Hanah's Ganah's, whatever moment you want to call it, that moment happens to coincide exactly with the Chi of Misa. But Rashi overextended himself a little bit by invoking two different possible moments. By talking about both Hanos Gon and Hanos Meyav. Why did he do that? So the Rashash on the back of the Gemara says the reason why Rashi did that is Rashi didn't want to take sides in the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is irrelevant to Ksubas Daf Lamed. Rabbi Yochanan holds the definition of Achila is Goron, and Rish Lakish holds the definition of Achila is Meyav. Whichever one you hold, plug into Ksubas Daf Lamed. It doesn't really matter. That's why Rashi just said, Ayin Shem. Rashi says it's as if Rashi was saying Ayin Shom. So a couple of weeks ago, before Yom Tov, I talked to Rabbi Tversky about this Rashi. So he thought that wasn't the right shot in the Rashi. He thought that what Rashi was saying was like this: there's a machlekes in Chulin between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, where the Yechaya for Hanos Goron or Hanos Meyav, whatever Goron means, or Meyav, we're not sure what either of them means, but Yechaya for one or the other. When Rabbi Yochanan says Yechayef Hanas Garon, what does that mean? That means that's the only moment of Achila according to Rabbi Yochanan? Or Rabbi Yochanan concedes that Hanas Meyav is also a moment of Achila? Rabbi Yochanan's a Mechadish. Rabbi Yochanan's in a sense a Macher. Rabbi Yochanan says to be called Achila doesn't have to go all the way down to the Meyayim. Even if it just goes down the Garon, that's also called Achila. But Avad and Avad, as it continues down the digestive system, there are multiple times of Achila. Hanos Goron is a mechayev, and Hanos Meyat can be chayev twice for the same achila. But when Rabbi Yechon said Hanos Goron, he meant to add on a definition of achila. He didn't mean to detract. He didn't mean to subtract Rish Lakish's definition of achila. So therefore, Rutursky thought when Rashi's here saying that you have to get it coincided with both times. It's not that Rashi is saying, well, Goron according to Yechanan and Meyayim according to Rish Lakish. Either one, you pick and you got your moment. No. You have to clear both. You have to be Chayav Misa for both and Chayav Moment for both, and then Kibbutz Rabbin has to kick in. Because Rabbi Yechanan never meant to say that Hanas Goron is the only Mechayav of Achila. He meant it's Hanas Goron in addition to Hanas Meyayim. That was his word. That was a shtickle turn, this Rashi. If you had Kimle on one and not the other, then you may be chayev, yeah. Because if you hold this hanos meyayim later, that's enough to be mechayev yumamon, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not called the bais achila, so then the kimle covered you at the beginning, but it's not going to cover you. Just because you're chayev misa for one, probably doesn't pop you further down. That's the rush. That's the rush of kama. That's for later on in the sugyas. So that's what that was Rashi's kavanah. So we're talking about this for a while. So I have two auras. Aura number one is, I thought of a mashal ma davadoyma. It's almost identical. And you should be able to think of the mashal also. The starting point of achila, according to Rabbi Tursky saying with Das Rashi, with Das Rabbi Yechon, the starting point of achila is hanos meayim. That's everybody buys into. That's eating means goes down, barely touch the throat and then comes out. That's not achila. Achila, you sit down and you go to a restaurant, you pay $50 for a meal, you want to go down to your stomach. You don't want just to go down to your esophagus and then go out. For that, you don't have to pay money for. So obviously, achila means to sit down and eat it all the way down. It's almost a chiddush haTorah. That ahanos goron is also called the ma'is achila, but not at the expense, not in contrast to ahanos me'ayim, in addition to ahanos me'ayim. That's what the Yechon and Shita. Heichan matzinu davar kazeh. Where do we find a very, very similar area of halacha? And there's a lot of similarities in this area of halacha, where there's a certain starting point. This is the definition of a certain ma'aseh. And the Torah is mechadesh. Oh, by the way, you didn't quite finish that ma'aseh. That's also chayav. But it doesn't mean la'afuke at the end. Rabia, we have this. Beharon, Gemar Bia. The Gemara needs a whole pasuk, a whole sugyas in the beginning of sixth parak of Yevamos to tell you that hara is considered to be like a ma'aseh bia. For this area of halacha, that every pasuk, every area needed. If you don't have a pasuk, you can't figure it out. Remember, we spent a lot of time on this earlier in the year. It's clear from the Gemara that lulei the gzeres hakosuv, in a million years I wouldn't have said hara ki gemar bia. I would say gemar bia is gemar bia, finished. Kum te tayr is mechadish to be hara ki gemar bia. What's the nature of that chiddush? Is the nature of that chiddush that hara is now the only definition of bia? Gemar bia is nothing. Hara is, that is definition of bia? Or no? Whenever you do a ma'aseh bia, so hara is called a ma'aseh bia, and the continuation, everything is called a ma'aseh bia. So it's clear in the sugya of hara that it's not hara lafuke everything else. Gemar bia is also called a ma'aseh bia. To such an extent that who recalls a famous question of the Rishonim? A Rashba and a Ritva, back in the sugyas of Rabbi Sai, one of our favorite sugyas from pre-Yanta was what? Who remembers? Ah, she's doing some chazar these days, right? Ba'ula Kohen Gadol, who remembers, right? Remember that same woman who should have become a what? She should have become a ba'ula at the beginning of the bia and a chalal at the end of the bia. Remember that kasha? Right? And the Ritva had to come up with a solution in Yevamos and Taisar. Everyone had to come up with the Rashba. Everyone's got to solve that world's problems and say, no, you can't have two psulim chal at the same time. And you have this. Everyone's got an answer to that kasha. How come nobody said the most simplest answer to that kasha? What's the simplest answer to that kasha? The Gemar Bia doesn't parcel you because that's not called Bia. Because the answer is that's a late sonus. Of course that's called Bia. Of course Gemar Bia is called the Bia. Hara is also called the Bia, but not Lafuke Gemar Bia. So I gave that marshal to be like that marshal. Like that marshal. Then I said, if that's true, if your shtickle Torah is correct, then now two things are going to change in my life. One is a psach that I gave 27 years ago. And the second is all the stories of how many times I told over that psach. That'd be at least 100 times in Wayu Torah, this joke. Not a joke, it was a real story. I was in a certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, which I will remain nameless. The yeshiva that I learned it. It wasn't a reflection of the yeshiva. And I was sitting in the Beis Medrash. It was late one night. The guy walks into the Beis Medrash, American guy, Baruch in the yeshiva, walks in white as a ghost. Tells me the following story. He said, I just went back to my dorm room. It was very dark in the room, and I didn't want to wake up my roommates. I was a little bit hungry. Supper, I guess, just didn't make it. He had some cake sitting on his desk, on the table there. See, he was very nice. Ben on the chaver, didn't want to turn the lights. So he finagled in, broke off a piece of cake, and started to eat it. As he's eating the piece of cake, he swallows it. Something tastes button that this doesn't taste right. So he takes up the piece of cake outside to the hallway to see what's going on. Thing is, mole bugs. It obviously just swallowed quite a few of taloim, the holidays. So what was his shaila? He wants to know, is he mechuyuf to throw up right now? Is he mechuyuf to make himself throw up to get rid of the bugs? That was his shaila. So I responded, that lefi ani yizdaiti, it's mechuyuf to be yechen and rishlokish. According to Reish Lakish, who says, whatever that means, they probably haven't made, the guy ran from the dorm so fast, they haven't gone down to the Me'ayim yet. I said, yeah, do whatever you can to stop yourself from violating the sister. Whatever you want to call it. But if you're able to stop it, you have to stop it. Does Ksuba Staf Lamed on the day sound familiar? Got to get it out. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's down already. You gave the last gulp already. It's done. Peristalsis, is that what it's called? It's making its way down already. It's ready. You're ready for Yaitse Zayin, whatever that means. You're Yaitse ready, Hanos Garon. What are you, my handilate to spit it up, to throw it up? What are you going to accomplish? You violated Yisurachil already. Good. But you have to klapachate, not klapachate. With Shekenene, not so much for Hano. You can figure it out. But you don't gain anything by throwing up. So I said to him, we passed the Rabbi Eichen, Loch Rabbi Eichen. So I said, therefore, if it is daiti, not mechuyav b'sirah. That was the psak that I gave. So now, a month ago, Rabbi Twersky threw that psak into question. He said, according to this Rashi, who says that no, when Rabbi Yechanan says that yechayef anos garon, it's not only anos garon, it's anos garon plus anos me'ayim, it's either one is a mechayef. So then maybe he should be mechuyav to throw up to avoid the future violation of hanos me'ayim. I don't know. I told you guys a long time ago. Yeah. Now it's too late for him to throw up. Yeah.
Just for number one, Eichon the Walmart Sinu, that the Peskim said to throw it up just to support Rebbe. But also from the.
It's a Bill Sidlo Shrikha, a guy sitting and eating bugs.
But just from the Shprach of the Achronim, that they say, you know, there are certain exceptions to the rule by
Yom Kippur,
because
yeah.
That's not Achila based. That's what do you, that is Achila based, but that's also part of Rabbi Yochanan's
realm. No. I don't think so. No, I think that, but the Mechas Chinuch and Mechas Chinuch, the Asamech, that Machlokes about Achila and Yom Kippur is a different vibe. There, Rabbi Belzon's referring to the Mechas Chinuch as a Chiddush, that even though Rabbi Yochanan says an Osgarn is enough in Kol Torah Kula, but Yom Kippur, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Hanos Goron is not enough, because there it says Inui, it's not an Isser of Achil, it's an Isser of Inui. And there's some ethics issue with that. That's not the same. What the Mechaz Chinuch is saying is that Chiddush in Rabbi Yochanan, that Hanos Goron is enough, that's not Chiddush by Kol Torah Kula, but by Yom Kippur, that's not true.
Right, I agree. No, but I'm saying the way the Mechaz Chinuch says it is that because it's not in Achila. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan, it's like there's a new mechayev over here, and in such a mechayev, Rabbi Yochanan's willing to be moded. But in Achila, Rabbi Yochanan defines Achila as Gar.
I don't know. I have to look careful. I'm not sure. I don't know about that. I don't know. Yeah.
On that story, if yeah. We're saying that Hanas Me'ayim takes so long to happen, how can there ever be Kimai according to the other Rishonim, though, at least it's not going to happen for another...
According to Rish Lakish.
Yeah, but I'm saying, right, meaning only Rabbi Natan was the first one to tell us about Hanas Gar, and Rashi mentioned it, but according to Tosos, who didn't...
Mistum, it's all simultaneous. That means I'm being nana me'ayim at the same time that I'm being chayef for the moment. It's all the same thing. It's all the same time. I don't know.
Even with that this story, from the Rishon that we have, the Ritzva versus Rashi and Tosos, comes out that what we're saying is you do have a machlekes within Hanaz Garon related to all machlos asuras. At what point?
Right, that's right. Absolutely right. Rabbi Natan is a chiddush, right? Rabbi Natan is he's putting it earlier than everybody else, right? In Ochinami. I mean, I wouldn't know where in the world to identify right. This in the esophagus, but clearly Rabbi Natan is making it earlier, right? Is that Hanaz Gar? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I could say tires on this, but I have no idea where it translates to in terms of the taste buds. I don't know. So everybody says, so we have four pshatim in the Rishonim, and they broke down as mamash 2-on-2. You have Taisus by us, Taisus and Bava Kama, against the Ritzvah and Rabbi Natan. The common denominators between the two days in Taisus, number one, are that, okay, the Taisus, the Taisus and Ksubis, that means the first day in Taisus, and the Taisus and Bava Kama. So they both accept that, how much is this item worth? Basically zero. I mean, either literally zero or for all practical purposes zero. So the item is worth zero, and therefore the chiv is not petoras what? Not petoras gazlin, it's petoras hano. In contrast to the Ritzvah and Rabbi Natan, who hold that the value is what? A lot of money, right? And therefore the chiyav is gazlan, mazik, whatever you want to call it. L'chayr, these two things are totally different. Any rishon who says it's worthless has to turn it into a chiyav hanah. Any rishon who says it's worth something has to reckon with the chiyav of gazela. Those two things seem to be like, that's like ironclad. You have four possibilities to shalom in the rishonim, but that equation, that these two things are related, that everybody seems to buy into. Everybody, almost everybody, except for who? Who's the only Rishon that dissents on that equation? We don't even know his name was. Who was it? It's the Yesh Mefarshim in the Ritva in our Sigur. Who's got the Ritva for me now? Now we need the Ritva in Ksubis. The Yesh Mefarshim. Everybody is trying to solve this problem. Whether you lived in Spain, you lived in France, everybody has to deal with this Sugya. The Yesh Befarshim says the Ritva, some say, the Mairi Be'eichlin De'lo Me'isi. The Ochlin doesn't, they don't look so bad. It's not so terrible. I.e., what did the Ritva just say? By saying that the Ochlin is not so Me'isi, what did he just tell us? It's got value. We're going to put it at $100, okay? And what are we expecting the next words to be? Goslin. Don't get too excited. Gafilu Hochi. Kaven de lo motzi laduri ella bitsara de atchak. Lo havi Goslin. It's as if the Yesh Befarshim was sitting in the back of the shir and they knew what they were going to be held to say. We were expecting them to say, $100 is Goslin. Nope, not. Not a Goslin. V'chiyuv ha'ana is greinu b'vad. Yechayif ha'ana. He just combined together the $100 of the Ritzvan Rebbeinu Tam with the chiyuv ha'ana of Taisek Suba Taisek Bava Kama. Now what did he accomplish by doing that? What did these Yesh Befarshim just accomplish by doing? Something unbelievable. You know what they avoided? They avoided what Balagan, Rabbi say? What? Whose Balagan did they avoid? Which Shia did they miss? All of yesterday's Shia. They sidetracked the whole sugya of Zenem Zalachaser because Taisus got into a pickle. Because Taisus in Ksubas and Taisus Bavakama also said Yechayev Al Tzano, but Taisus said it's worth zero, so they were both trying to figure out, hey, if it's worth zero, what Yechayev Al Tzano for? So Taisus begins how to give you a shtickle razzle dazzle. Well, it's a Zenem, a little bit in the Zechaser, a little bit in Shalom Yisrael, everything joins together, Baruch Be'er. Chagadjas that we weren't sure about yesterday. We spent a lot of time, but we weren't really sure. Taisim of Akama had a new idea about Zenem Zel Chaser, that the original Chaser results in the Hano, even though right now it's not worth. Everyone had to answer this problem because there is an inherent problem of calling it worth zero. Really, the last thing we want to do is put this Truma back with the value of zero, because then you got to explain away if it's zero, what are you paying for? So we had to do acrobatics yesterday to try to figure out if it's zero, what are you paying? Or no. So comes the Ritva and says, you don't have to do any acrobatics. It's worth $100. That's exactly what you pay Hana. Of course, the Ritva concludes and says, it's mamash. It's like the Yesh Befarshim looking at Taisus in the face and saying, what are you bending over backwards to tell me Shtickle Taisus from Shir yesterday? Bein the Bali Taisin Subs, Bein the Bali Taisin Bevakama, you're dealing with something which is a problem. Forget the problem. Solve the problem my way. Add $100 to the equation. It's now worth $100. You're not chayev al gazdan, chalila v'chalil. That's the last thing we want to do. Because to make you a gazdan, we're going to run into kimle b'diramini problems. And the Yesh Befarshim now turns on Rabbi Natam and the Ritzvah and says, how are you going to solve the kimle b'diramini problems? What, you're going to make a new definition of asachas? I never heard of that. Why, you're going to make a, don't forget the Ritzvah, for sure never heard of that. You're going to redefine Achila, you're going to make the Chi of Achila early? I never heard of that either. So the Yesh Befarshim of Gevaldik, they're looking at all four Rishonim. We don't even know who they are. We can't even thank them if we wanted to. The Yesh Befarshim of Ritzvah, a Gevaldik, it's glatt, it's mahadrin and mahadrin this pshat. Because all the troubles, all the tsaras, all the aggravation we had, this whole, it's Thursday already. We started this sugya on Monday. It took us 4 days to get to this point, to realize that every Rishon, all four Mahalchim and Rishonim, each one was fraught with difficulty. The Yesh Befarshim was the gladdest of the glad. It's $100 and it's Hana. There's only one problem with the Yesh Befarshim. What's the glaring problem? If it's $100, why aren't you a Goslin? Right? The other Rishonim didn't go down their path for no reason. Because Taisvus and Rabbeinu Tam and the Ritzva and Taisvus Bavakam and Taisvus Yivot, all the Baliya Taisvus, all four of those sheets, all Baliya Taisvus. This is the French-Spanish border over here. Everyone here is from France. So all the Baliya Taisvus, from the Ritzvah to Rabbeinu Tam to Taisvim here, Taisvim there, all over the place, were working with a certain mindset. It was chayk v'lo yavar. If it's worth $100, then you're a Goslin. If it's worth nothing, then you're a Nehneh. Go pick your pshat. You want to be a Goslin, it's got to be 100. You want to be a Hano, it's got to be zero. The Ritva is taking on the Yesh Befarshim, taking on the world. And they knew it. And they addressed it in one fell swoop. You know what they just said? V'afil hachi, Kaven de lomotzi ladur yela b'tzavah de'adchach lohavi gazlin. What did they say? Zok de Ritva, what is he saying? An unbelievable yisayid. we thought there's only one thing and one thing alone that can be mafkir the Shem Gazlan from you. Until 5 minutes ago, we thought there's only one way to be mafkir the Shem Gazela from the sugya. And what's that? Knock down the value of the truma. And the Yesh Mefarshim says no. I have another way to knock down, to be mafkir the Shem Gazela, and I don't have to touch the value, dollar and cent value of the truma. What do? Where do I put the truma? I put it in a place that's so inaccessible that requires a guy to start spitting up and coughing up into all the gory details to get this truma up. And he chooses not to. He chooses to give that last gulp. And whereas the Ritzvon, Rabbi Natam, and the Tzitzik, so everyone called him a Goslin, potentially for doing that, maybe, that's called the Gazela. And the only reason why the Tzitzik did him because they thought it has no value, but fundamentally that's called the Maisa Gazela. The Chiddush Gadol of the Yesh Mefarshim is what's Mafkia, the Yesh Gazela, the Chiyuv Gazela here is not the value or lack thereof. You know what's Mafkia, the Chiyuv Gazela? You can't have Gazela on something that the only way for it to be reached is through somebody gulping and regurgitating it. You can't call that Gazela. That's not called a Maisa Gazela. It's almost Moshalem Adavadom. It's almost, I don't want to get too far into this. It's almost like a little bit like a gonev min hawa. It's like a gonev min haganav, like a gonev davish and a bishuso kind of a thing. How could you call this my chefza? It's the chefza, it's neat. That parsha of gazela means I walk up to you and I take away something out of your pocket. That's called gazela. I break into your house. That's called a ganav. I take something which is sitting in a place where you can never get it in a million years anyway. You can only get it if I choose to cough it up. And I choose not to go if I choose to go. You're going to call me a goslin for that? It just doesn't make any sense, says the Yesh Mefarshim. There's Nishkein Gazela. And if it's Nishkein Gazela, then we're back in business else. Kimmel Dramine. And we don't have to knock this in value to Mefkir Gazela. We're Mefkir Gazela very simply. And once we're Mefkir Gazela, all we have to deal with is Hanoah. And now Hanoah is a breeze. You know why? Now the Sugi of Hanoah, smooth sailing for the Ritzvah. You know why? Because it's still worth $100. I never lowered it in value, unlike my colleagues, the Taisim and Ksubas and Taisim of Akama. So the Yesh Mefarshim was a gewaldic pshat. It circumvented all the acrobatics of yesterday, but it required a little bit new acrobatics in terms of a new definition of what is Gazela, what's not called Gazela, which clearly other Rishonim are not subscribing to. So conceptually, Rabbi Yisai, it's a fairly simple sugya. Straightforward sugya. There's one question in this entire sugya. There's only one question. It took us 4 days, one question. The one question is, hey, wait a second. It's all fine and dandy. I want to just make sure precisely I got the right everything. I got to make sure this meets the mark of Kibbutz Ramadan, because again, we got to get this point, because if not, then we don't have enough Kamida between Abai and Rav, Ali with Rabbi Chunin ben Akana. Right? And imagine if we wouldn't have had that, we wouldn't have had 4 days of Shia. But this is each word, the Heilige Chazal sat and worked, and each Rishon sat and worked. It took us 4 days, it must have taken each Rishon days and days and days to formulate each pshat. Because each pshat in the Rishonim has its own nuance, has its own Torah to it, its own angle on so many different things. We've seen Sugis in Chulin, Sugis in Yivamis, and Sugis in Subis, and Sugis in Bava Kama. Everything, all the shas is coming together with five different pshatim in the Gedel Yerushalayim, each one assuming a little bit different. Whether it's the Taizis Ksubis is redefinitions of, everyone's redefining something. Whether the Taizis Ksubis is redefining Zen Adam Zalach Chaser with all the Taizis that led to yesterday. Whether the Taizis Bava Kama is disagreeing with Taizis Ksubis, agreeing fundamentally with the Zero Hanoah, but redefining the relationship between Hanoah and Chaser. But everything that carried with that, the whole new ways of reading Sugis of Bava Kama, with Ramaz and with everything that went into yesterday's year. Then you have the Ritzvah, who changed course to Gamre and put it about $100 and turned the guy into a Gazlan. And the Ritzvah had to invoke Sugya's images of broken fingers from Yevamos and redefinitions of Basachas and Kol Terakula. Then you had Rabbeinu Tam, who was pretty much, in terms of the basic structure of the Sugya, similar to the Ritzvah, keeping it $100, keeping the guy a Gazlan, trying to create Basachas, but recreating Vasachas based on new definitions of Achila, invoking all kind of images of Hanos Garner and Osmeyah, which led us onto a whole new track. Then you have the Ritvah, who's standing literally on his own, the Yesh Mefarshim Ritvah, who didn't buy into this basic zero Hanah 100 Gazlan equation, But in order to do so, how to redefine Gezeirah. So you pick and choose what you want to redefine. You want to redefine Basachas, you want to redefine Zenen Zolochasa, you want to redefine Achila, you want to redefine Gazlan. Something has to be reassessed. Because if you read the Gemara just the way it is, there's something radically wrong with what the Gemara seems to be saying. Five different Shatim and Rishonim had to come to a resolution. Everyone saw it? The Gemara, right? Come on, Ashi, come on. This is there, right? No? It's not there? It's all there. Just gotta look for it. Gotta look. It's there, it's there. It's all there. Okay, everybody say. We got a lot of time for Chumash today. Okay. All right. Get it all on the Chumash.